So my name is Joe Levy. I'm a program manager on the automation and integration team of the Cloud and Enterprise division at Microsoft. So I work on all of the automation products that we have: System Center Orchestrator, System Center Service Management Automation, and Azure Automation. So in my session, I'm going to talk about Azure Automation and how it can be used to automate all of the manual processes you usually have to do to manage your Azure Infrastructure as a Service VM. So things like, you know, managing updates, security, compliance, turning dev tests and VMs on and off depending on whether you're at work or not, and taking all those manual tasks and really putting them in the hands of our automation engine. So it frees you up to kind of work on things that add business value instead of doing these repetitive tasks. If you could only take one thing away from this session, it's this. There's a lot of work you have to do to keep your VMs and your services in Azure up and running. Take a lot of that work out of your hands and put it in the hands of our automation engine so that you're freed up to work on more important things. So something interesting about me. In college, Foursquare was really big and everyone was checking in and becoming mayors. And given that I love automation and work on the automation team now, I actually wrote a script to automatically check me into all of the big places around the country, White House, Statue of Liberty, and take the mayorships of those locations. The day after I became mayor of the White House, I actually got banned from Foursquare and I'm actually not allowed back on the service anymore.
Hey, welcome back to the live stream, or possibly if you're watching this on demand. This is Level Up, Azure IaaS for IT Pros. I'm Rick Claus. I'm going to be joined in just a moment by Mr. Joe Levy to talk about some automation stuff. But I just want to remind people that these sessions are available on demand, obviously within 24 to 48 hours of them going live. This is recorded on December the 2nd, in case some of the technologies happen to change as things evolve, because it is the cloud, after all, from where we're going. And we will be taking the opportunity to take some questions if this is live. Beneath the player, there is a form out there you can fill out to be able to ask some questions, and I'll make sure that Joe gets them, and also I'm also able to respond to them. And likewise, I'll be monitoring the Twitter feed here if you're interested on the hashtag LevelUpAzure, in case you have any questions during or even after the event about automation or any of the other subjects that we've been talking about so far today. But with that, we've got Joe Levy, who's going to be talking about automation, scripting, and also some other cool stuff with DSC, all about Azure and about Azure automation, that sort of cool stuff. And I got to say, this team has got probably the coolest t-shirts that I'm jealous that I don't actually have one myself. So I need to somehow work my way into getting one of those t-shirts, because they're really, really cool, man. Thanks, Joe, for stopping by, man.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for giving me a platform to advertise our awesome service.
So you know what? Let's kick it right off and just get right into the whole concept of orchestrating, because actually I just found out I left some machines running.
Oh, no.
There's only two machines, but I left two machines running for about a couple of days that they weren't really doing anything. So now I got to go back and tell my boss that they weren't very large machines, but there's a couple that were left running. So,
you know, I think I have something that can help you with that.
Good.
We'll get to that a little bit in this presentation.
I'm looking forward to that one.
So as Rick said, my name's Joe Levy. I work on automation and integration across System Center and Azure. And today I'm going to be talking about Azure Automation and how you can use it with your IaaS VMs to actually save time and money and really get more value out of Azure without spending as much time or money, kind of freeing yourself up to work on things that kind of give you more business value. In addition to talking about Azure Automation, we're also going to talk a little about PowerShell desired state configuration. You know, when would you use Azure Automation versus PowerShell desired state configuration? How do they fit together? How can you use one from the other? Mm-hmm. And I'll give a little demo on that as well. So really what Azure Automation is a highly available, reliable, scalable workflow automation engine. And with it, you can automate all those manual, long-running, frequently repeated, and error-prone tasks that you take to keep your virtual machines on Azure or the services on top of your virtual machines up and running. So instead of following this long list of steps, you know, do this, then that, then this, and if you mess up this step, here's this list of error steps you have to go down to get back to the good state. You know, take all those long kind of menial processes out of your hands and put them in the hands of our automation engine to automate for you, so you can free yourself up to work on things that add more business value to your company. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, that's the high level. But when we get more into the nitty gritty, really what Azure Automation offers in terms of capabilities, the big three are runbook authoring, highly available engine, and integration into other systems. So it's all about automation and integration. So our engine, instead of building a new platform, we're basically, the Azure Automation Engine is PowerShell. And so we're essentially PowerShell as a service with some extra added goodies on top. And so what you can do is, in addition to importing PowerShell straight in and running it within our system, you can also author, test, and do all your authoring and testing within our portal to actually get things to a ready production state. And when you consider them ready, then publish them to production so that you can start them from other runbooks, start them manually in production, or start them on schedules. So all that rich authoring through our PowerShell engine. The highly available engine, so our engine is actually PowerShell workflow. And what that gives you is, one, you have the capability to take advantage of all the content and documentation and community around PowerShell out there. You also get reliable execution because PowerShell workflow lets you execute across hosts in parallel or serially. It lets you do things like checkpointing, and then if an error is encountered, you can actually resume from that last good state, that checkpoint, and continue on from there, so you're not kind of repeating work that you've already done. And then the integration into other systems part, you can't have automation, good automation, without integration. We ship with the Azure PowerShell module out of the box, and because it's a PowerShell engine, any kind of the extensibility of PowerShell is the extensibility of Azure Automation. Mm-hmm. There's tons of existing PowerShell modules out there, tons of content and documentation on how to create PowerShell modules, and if you can get something to work in PowerShell through a module, you can import that module into Azure Automation, and now you can use that system via that integration module to kind of make your processes also talk to those other external systems.
Now, just a point of clarification, obviously this automation piece works across whatever you have inside your subscription for the most part. Obviously to different varying different levels, but if my machines are Windows based or if they're Linux based or if they're interacting in different ways, automation is simply acting in an automated fashion against those objects, correct?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's kind of this orchestrator that works across Azure. It can talk into VMs as opposed to just managing the Azure layer, whether they're Windows VMs or Linux VMs.
Oh, okay.
There's actually an Azure Friday talk I did where I imported an integration, a PowerShell module for SSH. So it's actually within Azure Automation able to go and talk to Linux machines and actually orchestrate actions across them as well.
Oh, okay. Very, very cool.
And so just some of the scenarios we see people using this for today. Obviously, there's IaaS-related scenarios, like if you have a bunch of VMs, they're kind of black boxes, and you can stand up any service you want on top of those VMs. So the update process for that can be highly dependent on what you actually have running on those VMs. So you can actually, instead of having a whole list of steps to go and manually update the configuration of your VMs or the actual service running on your VMs, you can orchestrate a process to kind of update production in a highly available way so that you don't lose availability, but you're still able to get those updates into production in the way you want at the time you want. And things like doing staged deployment of a service, whether it's monitoring source control, pushing to my test environment, running my automated tests, and then if the tests don't pass, emailing the developers who put in that check-in. If they do pass, waiting for my maintenance window and then applying those changes to production, process like that. Or it could be something as simple as, I'm monitoring my SQL databases, and if they're approaching maximum capacity, get rid of some of the oldest logs in there that maybe I don't need anymore, or move them to out of the SQL database and onto Azure storage where I can kind of put them in cold storage for a longer period of time.
Yep.
So all kinds of different processes around IaaS and whatever you need to do to keep your services up and running. So with that, let's go into a little demo on Azure Automation, just introduce you to it. All right, so automation basically appears in the Azure portal.
I was going to point out real quickly, you're in extended mode right now.
Oh, so boy.
Make sure that we switch over there to go back into
duplicate mode. Sure, you don't like that fish? It's a pretty nice fish.
I think I've seen that fish before. I don't know where.
It's the beta fish for Windows 8 beta, so they got a beta fish on
there.
Nice. All right, let's try that again.
And that looks a little
better. There we go. Okay, so I'm now in the Azure portal, regular Azure portal. Azure Automation is not in preview anymore. We've actually gone GA, so you don't have to sign up for it. You just look for this cool gear and lightning bolt icon similar to what's on my shirt, and you click into it. And basically within there, the first thing you would do is create an automation account. And an automation account is basically a container for all of your automation resources where it has a strict separation. So you might have one for dev, one for staging, one for production, something like that, where you get the separation of your resources. Within an automation account, you also have region affinity for your automation account. So right now we have regions in the US, Europe, and Asia, with more coming soon. So this allows you to basically say, I want to make sure my resources that I'm storing in automation, you know, stay in that region, maybe due to some compliance reason. So within here, the main piece of Azure Automation that you want to focus on is runbooks. And runbooks are essentially PowerShell workflows, just PowerShell code that you've written that you can start, schedule, things like that. So what I'm actually going to do is actually import an existing PowerShell workflow that I have. So this is the PowerShell ISE. You can see I have this very simple process. All it does is basically say hello to whoever I pass in as a parameter. So if I run this and I do say hello, and let's have it say hello to you. You can see it spits out hello, Rick.
Nice.
So in this case, I've authored in the ISE. I could also author in Azure Automation, and I'll show that a little bit later. But now what I can do is actually go and import this. And then it'll be imported right into my system. I've taken existing PowerShell assets and brought them right in so I can, you know, start automating them on schedules and based on other actions and part of other processes. So it's imported. I'll click Edit Runbook. And this brings me basically to, within that runbook list, if I clicked into a runbook, this is what I would see. I've clicked on the Author tab, so basically it's imported this runbook as a draft. And what I can actually do is, I have this kind of rich editor where you can see I get color highlighting, syntax highlighting. I get some IntelliSense in here, so if I start typing name, you can see it comes up and auto-completes name for me because I've used that in the script. And what I can do is, let's pretend I've gone and tested this. I'll show the testing experience a little later. Once you've kind of tested this and consider it working, you can publish it to production. And that kind of makes it available to schedule and start via other runbooks and start via, you know, our commandlets, our API, things like that. So you can see it's now gone to publish state, and I can actually start it from here. So let's start it, and I'll say hello to myself this time. And so while that's starting up, just to show you some other things in here, every runbook has a dashboard. We also have an all-up dashboard. And what this will do is, especially the all-up dashboard, it makes it very easy to see, hey, is there anything going wrong in my system? I can see all the jobs that are running. I can see, you know, are there specifically anything that's failing or has exceptions and has suspended? I can see the history of the past 30 days of what ran, how many minutes it's consumed. And if I actually go up to my automation account level and look at the dashboard, you'll see I have this nice pattern. And it's great to see a pattern like this without lots of suspended and failed things in the pattern. Because what this means is I have a lot of things running on a schedule happening automatically, right? They're happening at the same time every day, and so I have this pattern that seems to be happening. And I'll talk a little bit later about what exactly I'm doing in my automation account.
I was about to say, that one is a good one to have as like a second layer to your t-shirts. When it's working well, you want to see this.
I'll get it on the back, maybe. We don't have too much on
that
the back.
Work.
And so you can see, you know, I can see everything that's ran in my system. I can see all the state of all my different runbooks in here. And then so if I just go back to that runbook that I've just started up, which was called Say Hello. There we go. And so I will search for that. We, of course, have, you know, the ability to search across your runbooks because you're going to have lots and lots of stuff in here because you're automating lots of processes.
Yep.
So if I go, I can go to the jobs view. And basically the jobs view shows me all of the jobs I've run. A job is an instance of a runbook. So it's like I've written this process, and then every time I kick it off, I have a new job. So you can see because I started it once, I have this job in here. All of my jobs will be listed out in here. I can click into them and see things like who started them, when they started, when they completed, what input parameters were passed, what output they produced. In this case, this is a very simple runbook, so it just printed out Hello Joe.
Right.
I can go into the history of that and actually see, in addition to the output logs, I can see things like, verbose logging and progress logging. And we don't turn that on by default, but you can basically, on a runbook, go to Configure tab. In addition to specifying, you know, tags, description, you can turn on that more verbose logging if you want to see that additional information, maybe for troubleshooting or maybe just for informational purposes. And so some other things we have in the system, that kind of covers runbooks and dashboards. The next piece is assets. So what assets are modules, schedules, credentials, connections, variables, and certificates. And basically what they are is global, except for schedules, they're global values that you store in our system. You can store them securely, so you can create a variable and set it to encrypted. Credentials and certificates are stored encrypted, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then instead of hard coding things into your runbook, whether it's credentials or just secret information that you don't want in plain text, you can actually reference that information from our asset store using a few activities.
Okay.
And even not for secure information, it lets you, instead of hard coding information into your runbooks that might be used across runbooks, you can say, I want to grab this value from a variable in my asset store, and then if I ever need to change that variable, instead of going and actually changing all of my runbooks, I can just change that value through here. So if I find a variable in here, for example, test long variable, I can actually go in here and, you know, change the value. In this case, it looks like I'm storing some JSON in there, but you know, you can store whatever types you want in there.
I like that, because obviously that's going to make it a lot more easy for people that have multiple administrators that are using the same subscription, mm-hmm. to be able to go off and to not have to worry about, you know, has the password changed in the last 60 days or 90 days, whatever it is.
Right.
It can just be safely stored in an encrypted format inside the asset library.
It makes it very easy. If a password kind of expires and your runbooks all suspend because they hit I couldn't log in exception, you can go in here, go into a credential. So this is my credential I talked to Azure with, for example, and I can just update that password and then resume all of my runbooks, and they'll continue to run using that new credential.
Very
easy
cool.
to manage at scale.
Very cool.
And that last piece in there, so another thing is schedules. I didn't mention schedules specifically yet. Schedules are a type of asset, but instead of referring to them within your runbook and grabbing that value, what you would actually do is pick a runbook and then hook it up to a schedule. So for example, if I go down into here and I click into really, you know, any of these runbooks, I can go to schedule. And within here I can, you know, link to an existing schedule or a new schedule. So I can name that schedule. And then I can, you know, make it a one-time in the future schedule, an hourly schedule, or a daily schedule, and say when it starts, when it ends, you know, how often it should reoccur, things like that. And then the last thing I want to talk about in terms of the intro is that scale tab. So what the scale tab does is we're a GA service now. So we have a free tier that gives you 500 minutes a month. And with 500 minutes in the hands of an automation engine, you can do a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. basically for free. But if you need to go above that level, you can move to our standard tier, which is basically a fifth of a cent per minute of execution. So very cheap. And then you get as many, you know, it's pay as you go. So you get as much as you need to mm-hmm. continue on beyond that 500 minute kind of free limit.
So you can always start off with the free. When you start to hit getting close to the max, you're mm-hmm. in the max, you can look at just simply switching it over to a standard different option that's there.
Right.
Very, very cool. Now, I've got a question for you. Actually, this one came up just on the Twitter hashtag of Level Up Azure.
Mm-hmm.
How do you work when you're dealing with automation and composing the scripts when you want to use assets that are inside your asset library, but you find that the rich interface that exists on the web, which would recognize the asset library, is basically going to become too cumbersome because your scripts are getting too long, and maybe you're doing this on the ISE side mm-hmm. of things, a local machine.
Right.
What do you do to handle that?
So there's a few different ways to handle it. I mean, one thing you can do is when you're authoring in the ISE, instead of trying to grab it from the asset store, which obviously the ISE can't talk to, you can temporarily kind of hard code that value, get it working in the ISE, and when you already import it into automation,
okay.
at that point change that hard coded value to the actual command that grabs it from our asset store.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you can do that we'll be working on releasing soon, and we've done for the on-premise version of this product, Service Management Automation, mm-hmm. is we've actually released these things called the Emulated Automation Activities. And they essentially let you kind of import a module into your local ISE, and the ISE will then recognize commands with the same names that are used to grab assets as the ones in Azure Automation,
mm-hmm.
but behind the scenes they'll work a little differently to actually grab the assets. They'll, you know, talk through our API to grab those values,
okay.
or start a runbook that outputs the values and get it, but it'll make it a little more seamless than having to kind of substitute the values when you move from authoring your local ISE to authoring in or using in production in Azure mm-hmm. Automation.
Okay, very, very cool. Thanks.
So Matt. Coming soon, and check out our blog. If you haven't already, blog.azure.com. There's a specific tag for Azure Automation. We blog a lot on there, and this is one we have planned for pretty soon in the future to put out there on those emulated activities.
Cool.
So with that, I'll move on a bit and dive a little deeper. So obviously, Azure Automation, kind of like PowerShell as a service, we're built on that PowerShell workflow engine, and the way you extend Azure Automation is just how you extend PowerShell. But there's actually a little bit more we offer in addition to kind of what PowerShell offers. Of course, through PowerShell Workflow, you get the ability to run in parallel, to suspend, to recover from failures at your checkpoints. But we also offer some extra things. One thing I covered was the centralized store. So instead of hard coding into your runbooks, as I said, you can reference from our store, store things securely in our store. Obviously, regular PowerShell doesn't have a concept like that, which kind of speaks to the question we just answered. We're also, of course, as a service. So you're getting PowerShell as a service. You have Commandlet, SDK, and API access to basically manage running PowerShell scripts and looking at the output of these scripts and workflows. As well as, you know, we're built on Azure, so we have Azure Standard SLA. We have scale and reliability of Azure on our side, you know, all of those great things. We're multi-tenant and keep tenants isolated. And then historical analysis. So if you go and you run a PowerShell script, and you close that PowerShell console, it's gone. You know, you don't have that output saved. Whereas in our system, if you're putting your kind of production automation in our system, we keep a log of everything that's run in the past 30 days, what input was passed, what output was passed, when it ran, you know, things like that. So you can really get this good historical analysis of what was all the automation that happened across Azure, as long as you're putting all of this into Azure Automation to track. Mm-hmm. So next thing I want to move into is kind of, since we're IaaS for IT Pros Week, I want to talk about how Azure Automation can very, very easily be useful to people who have VMs on Azure and how they can very immediately start getting value out of that. So I'll close this and the slideshow again. Still in duplicate mode. I think after this, I'm going to have to change my default.
Well, you're quick at being able to switch it. I'm just glad I caught it.
I have all. That touch screen. Yeah, it's good you caught it. They'd be just staring at a beta fish for a very long time. So the next thing I want to show is it's very common to use Azure and Azure VMs for your dev test workloads. Mm-hmm. You were kind of saying before, oh, I left some VMs on and wasting, you know, money and minutes of compute by having those VMs on when I'm not using them. It would be great. And what a lot of people use Azure Automation for is kind of their first thing, because it's so easy to get started using it this way, mm-hmm. is just when I leave work for the day, you know, say it's 8 p.m., go and turn off all of my dev test virtual machines. When I come to work in the morning, maybe at 6 a.m. or by 6 a.m., make sure they're all turned on again. So for me, it's seamless. I can, you know, use them and access them while I'm at work, but I can also very easily, you know, I don't have to remember, oh man, I forgot to turn them off at the end of the day. I'm kind of burning money that I'm not using. Mm-hmm. And you just have them turned on and off for you automatically. So you save time and money, your time, because you're not remembering to turn them off, and money because all that compute time during the night when you're sleeping and not using it, you don't have to pay for anymore. Mm-hmm. So one thing I want to talk about that I haven't mentioned before or yet is our runbook gallery. And so what the gallery lets you do is basically there's a collection of runbooks that Microsoft has contributed, users have contributed. You can very easily take advantage of them and import them into your system. So this is our runbook gallery. I can filter by what's for Microsoft and what's from the community. I can filter by what's a runbook and what was kind of built as a PowerShell script, but and may require a few changes for me to turn into a runbook, but I can still very easily take advantage of the existing content. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm going to do is actually go into the category for VM Lifecycle Management and go to this script right here. You can see I can see what kind of star ratings it's got, how many downloads it has, when it was last updated, who authored it, and a description. And basically what this runbook does, and it goes and it turns off my Azure VMs. So instead of writing some code myself, I'm just going to import this in my system. I can first take a look at the actual code for it and make sure it's what I want. And then I'll just import that into my system. And then let's go into the edit mode of that runbook and actually show it kind of turning off my VMs.
So again, just to highlight, mm-hmm. this is one of 107 different runbooks that exist today, or runbooks slash PowerShell scripts that are right. almost workflows or whichever. You can use this now, and this happens to be December 2nd timeframe that we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm. And early Christmas gift.
The early Christmas gift to be able to go off and to handle starting and stopping your VMs automatically.
Right.
Why didn't I know about this?
You can see all this existing code. I didn't have to go and write this myself. You can see there's a comment here.
I like how it's commented. That's
yes,
good.
Yes, this community contributor was very good in terms of, commenting. And so what I can actually do here is it says, you know, insert your credential, you talk to Azure. So I'm going to delete this. And I'm going to actually go. And one of the things our authoring panel gives you is the ability to insert kind of code straight mm-hmm. from our asset store. So I can click insert setting. And I will get a credential for how I talk to Azure, and I'll just hit go. You can see it's actually added in the PowerShell to go and grab that credential, assigning it to this value right here, then it'll connect to Azure. Then I need to select my Azure subscription, so I will pull that up right here. But you can also find it right here, what subscription you're currently on.
Right. And in case you don't know, you can obviously rename your subscriptions to different names and different things too.
Right, right. So I'll select I want to work against this subscription. You can see what it's doing is getting all my VMs, and then basically for any that aren't stopped or deallocated, stop them.
Yep.
And I'm going to actually do another demo using a VM named Joe123R2. So I'm going to actually stop it from stopping that VM since I want to be able to work on it later. So let's add that in. And then I will start this in the test mode just to show you what testing is like.
It's almost like a big what if switch.
Right. But it's more than what if. So if you point this at your production site and you say delete it, it'll delete it. So you need to make sure it's a test console. You're supposed to put it at test resources.
Okay. Okay.
So make sure you're aware of what you're doing, because this will actually go and do what the script says to do. So while that's starting up, just to show you, I have three VMs up here. And you know, I told it not to stop Joe123R2, but it will go and stop these two, which we'll see a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
And then to go back into my environment, since we're talking about starting and stopping VMs and how it's so easy to take advantage of that, you can see I already started using it. If you look at my dashboard and you see all these ups and downs, one of the things I'm actually doing in here, I'm using a slightly different runbook, but I'm using a runbook to start every morning at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
and stop all my VMs every night at 8 p.m.
So we know that your working hours are 6 till 8 here at Microsoft. Is that what it is, Joe?
Well, you know, I work hard, 6 a.m. yeah. to 8 a.m.
Nice.
And so what I can do is just to show you, I can click into start, for example. And just, this is actually being configured on a schedule. Again, you saw that very nice graph there. Mm-hmm. But if I click into schedule, you can see daily at 7 a.m. It's adjusted for daylight savings times in this case.
Oh, yeah.
But you can see daily at 7 a.m. I've hooked it up to the schedule,
mm-hmm.
and it'll just run that continually. And so I don't have to do anything every day at 6 or 7, depending on when it's daylight savings. It's going to go and turn on these VMs, and then at night it'll turn them off. And so I'm saving a bunch of money, and I'm not spending any money. I mean, I can use this for a full month within that 500-minute amount,
mm-hmm.
using Azure Automation. So it's basically free value for me. It's very easy for me to use. I've already started it. It's very easy to hook it up to a schedule and get it running. So let's go back to that runbook that I actually kicked off and see if it completed. Maybe what we can do, let's actually just, oh yeah, let's check it. So I'll type in stop here and let it find that runbook. And here you go, stop all Azure VM. I'll click into the authoring pane. And so in addition to actually authoring and hitting test in here, we actually have this test console in here. So you can see I can easily open it and close it depending on whether I want to author while mm-hmm. it's running or actually look at it while it's running. So I've opened it. And you can see it's spitting out a lot of output here, so the connection information. Then you can see it's actually running stop Azure VM,
mm-hmm.
and the operation succeeded, another stop Azure VM, the operation succeeded. And so you can see the status is now completed because the Roomba completed. And if I go back to my virtual machines, the portal hasn't refreshed, so just to force it to refresh, I will reload this page. And what we'll see is that those VMs are now stopped very easily. So let's let this load for a sec and let it pick up that VM status. Retrieving that status, and now we should see everything other than Joe123R2 is stopped, mm-hmm. which is exactly what that runbook tried to do. There
oh,
you go.
Perfect.
Right.
Well, we got a little bit of a break. I thought I'd ask mm-hmm. a question up here. Brandon Nolan was asking very simply, what version of PowerShell is Automation using up on the Azure side?
I think it's the version of PowerShell that shipped in Windows Server 2012 R2, which mm-hmm. I guess is PowerShell V4.
That's
right?
V4. V5 yeah. is currently in pre-release mm-hmm. on the on-premises circuit, if you will, that happens to be out there. So good point. That's there.
Right.
Ted Hacker asked a question here. With our variables imported into Azure Automation with a PS1 script automatically, are they defined in the script or are they defined separately?
If you mean the variable asset, you actually have to go and create that asset
mm-hmm.
Through the portal currently. We're adding more and more commandlets and API access over time. So soon you'll be able to, as part of an import story where you're saying, you know, grab all my runbooks as PS1s and import those into Azure Automation. Also, you know, use this commandlet to actually create these variables and import those into Azure Automation.
Mm-hmm.
But right now you have to, you separately import the runbook, and then through the portal, create those variables and give those values. And then within your runbook, you say, okay, grab the value for that variable I created.
Now, again, another question that came up here was from Ted Hacker, kind of appropriate because of his last name and the handle being Hacker. Do Azure Automation scripts run on my own VMs? How can I be sure they run securely? Can someone else's script read the same memory as my scripts that are run in? Mm-hmm. But the script that you showed us there required that you actually put in your subscription information, required that you had solid credentials to say that you're authorized to run those.
Yep.
That's just a couple of layers of security that are there. Does he have any concerns with somebody with being able to run a script on another set of machines?
So it's kind of a multi-part question. The first part in terms of do Azure Automation scripts run on my VMs? No, they don't. They run in our automation sandboxes, which are owned by the Azure Automation team. If you want, from those runbooks, you can remote into your VMs if you want to do specific things on your VMs. But all to start with, they all run on our sandboxes. Those sandboxes are strongly isolated per tenant. So you don't have to worry about is another tenant of Azure Automation going to be able to access my runbooks or my credentials, my certificates that are stored in the encrypted store. Everything is highly tenant segregated, isolated.
That's good to know. Good to know.
Yep.
And another quick one here, just as we're waiting, was on the Twitter stream is, can you use System Center Orchestrator with Azure Automation? So bringing the two worlds together.
Good question. So right now the only integration there is between them would be you would import the PowerShell module for Azure onto one of your orchestrator servers, runbook servers, and then you would, using the run.NET script activity, essentially put into that activity a script to go and say, you know, start this runbook or, you know, get these job outputs, things like that. That's kind of the only integration right now. There is an Azure integration module for Orchestrator, but right now it does not have support for Azure Automation. So you would import that PowerShell module and use that to kind of talk to Azure Automation.
And to kind of flip that around, same kind of thing, is you don't need to have an on-premises Orchestrator environment at all for your Azure environment. You could entirely have everything taking place on the Azure side of things.
Yeah, especially if you're doing all in Azure management. If you have some things kind of behind the firewall in the fold, maybe you use Orchestrator to kick off your Azure or service management automation, which is basically the same thing as Azure Automation, but you install it in your data center to kick off Azure Automation for things about managing Azure, and use Service Management Automation or Orchestrator to manage your on-prem assets. Over time, we're going to be working more and more on that hybrid story in terms of allowing Azure Automation to be able to manage within your premises in a secure way. But right now, it doesn't have the ability to do that. It's for Azure management.
Okay. I'm going to let you get back to the session over here because we still have more stuff to cover off in this one here. And we'll hold on to some of these questions a little later on. But thanks, man.
All right. Sounds good. So we've talked about what is Azure Automation, why you would use it. We've shown a few demos of that. We talked about what's a very easy scenario I can get started with for free in Azure Automation as a person who uses IaaS on Azure to kind of get some value and save some time. And now let's talk about PowerShell desired state configuration, how it's different from Azure Automation, how it fits in, how you use one from the other, things like that. So essentially, PowerShell desired state configuration, it's Microsoft's Chef and Puppet, basically. And what it lets you do is define as basically, you know, this is exactly what I want. Instead of coding up in PowerShell, you know, go and do this step and then do this step and then install this Windows feature, you just say, I want it to have these Windows features, I want this file to be here, I want this certificate to be hooked up and IaaS to be projecting this website, and you say, do that for me. And no matter what state your VM was in before, it'll make sure it matches that state afterwards. And what this is great for, in addition to saying, to having an idempotent process that goes and makes that VM in the correct state, it also, you usually for a service have a lot of VMs in the same tier. And by tier, I mean they're exactly the same because they're all web servers or they're all workers or, you know, maybe they're all database shards. Excuse me. And what you could do is create a desired state configuration that says, you know, this is what my web server should look like. And for all of your VMs in the web server tier, the web server role, you know, make it so. Go and take this configuration and make sure all those VMs match to it. In addition to the initial configuration, what you can also do is say, I mean, in the real world, there's so many things installed in these VMs, so many people, different IT admins who have access. You really want to make sure they stay in the correct state. They stay in compliance with what has been defined by the desired state configuration. So what you can do is either allow it to actually alert you if changes happen, or just continually keep it in the correct state as defined by that PowerShell desired state configuration. This allows you to deploy using that same configuration, you know, across environments, across VMs, and make sure your VMs kind of always end up in that same state. And you can see one example of what this looks like, where next to structural configuration there, you can say, if you want a Windows feature, you say, I want Windows feature resource. I want web server is the actual Windows feature I want, and I want it present. Instead of present, you could say absent. Some different resources will have more, you know, options in terms of other configuration you can do, instead of, you know, doing essentially a bunch of PowerShell to go and do that same thing in a non-idempotent way. Kind of, it saves you from having to write as much PowerShell. You just say, this is what I want, go and make it so. And it'll do that for you. And then in terms of how this all fits with Azure Automation. So we think of PowerShell desired state configuration as the way you would automate your VM configuration. So within a VM, how you make that VM configured in the correct way for specifically configuration-related tasks. Azure Automation is more, it's orchestration to kind of automate processes that span hosts, span systems, span tools, span different time periods. And so PowerShell DSC is what you would use if you wanted to kind of, in the best way, configure your Microsoft VMs. The processes around managing desired state configurations or around managing VM configuration is a larger process than just go and apply this desired state configuration, right? If I'm doing change control on my VM configuration, what I might do is have a process, which is defined in a runbook, where I go and I check in a new configuration to source control. My runbook is monitoring my source control. It sees a new check-in has been committed. It, you know, provisions a new VM in my test environment or uses an existing test VM, and it applies that you know, new check-in configuration to those VMs. And then runs our test suite to make sure everything seems to be working with the application that's deployed on those VMs, the service we're offering. If those tests pass, then it waits for my maintenance window and then actually, in a highly available way, upgrades my production VMs to use this desired state configuration. So kind of the whole change control process, you know, you can model as a runbook. But within that runbook, you're using desired state configuration to, for the parts within the VM that have to do with configuring it, actually doing that automating of applying that VM configuration. And so now, next thing I'll talk about is a demo of basically that exact scenario that I just talked about. And I will again change it so that we don't have to look at the fish. I think I'm up here repping the fish more than I'm repping Azure Automation. But
I mean, you should have had the logo as the background.
Yeah, on the back of the shirt is the beta fish, actually.
Nice. So nice.
If I ever turn around, you'll see it. So let's go up into Azure. And I will go to my automation page. And actually, before I drill in here, what I'm going to show you is basically that Joe123R2 VM I didn't turn off is actually down here. If I go to Add Roles and Features, let me make that full screen. You can see that it does not have the IIS feature installed, right? And then if I actually go to that VM, the kind of HTTP endpoint of that, and I try to go to it, there's nothing there, just this page cannot be displayed because IIS isn't running. So now what I'm going to do is actually go over to, in this case, GitHub. You could do the same thing with Visual Studio Online or, you know, any kind of source control you can access from Azure Automation. I'm just showing third-party integration here. Mm-hmm. And you can see I have this repository that's storing one PowerShell desired state configuration. I click into that, and I'm just going to use the online editor of GitHub to actually change this. You can see the configuration right now says IIS should be absent. My web server role should be absent. Windows feature should be absent. So I'm going to change this to present, and then I will commit this. This is one way to commit the file. You can obviously use, you know, your command line to commit mm-hmm. to Visual Studio or GitHub or any other Git solution. You can see now it says the state is present for web server. So now what I'm going to do is go over to a runbook that I've kind of had running. I happen to have it running in test. In real life, you'd probably run this kind of on a schedule in production. But just to kind of simplify for the demo, I have it running in test. So let's find that runbook, DSC. There it is. If I go over to author, and I go to draft, basically what I can see down here in the test mode is, you know, for a long time, it's been constantly running and checking my source control. You know, is there anything new there? Mm-hmm. And then very recently, it said, hey, there is a new check-in. I'm going to go and process that and apply it to my VM, in this case, Joe123R2. And so while that's running, because it takes a second to install, let's talk a little bit about, you know, how the script works. What I'm doing in here is I'm not going to go through everything, but I'm getting a credential to talk to Azure. I'm connecting to Azure. I'm also basically checking GitHub for a new version of that repository. Mm-hmm. If I find that there's been a new version of that repository, then I'm actually using the VM desired state configuration, the Azure VM desired state configuration extension to publish this configuration onto Azure. So just to give a little overview of what the Azure VM DSC extension does, it's a mouthful. What it lets you do is take a configuration, whether you're doing this from Azure Automation or, you know, your local machine, and publish that configuration onto Azure Storage, and then update or create a new VM saying use this configuration to kind of configure the insides of my VM so mm-hmm. that it matches this state. So I'm putting that the new configuration from my source code up onto the blob store using the DSC extension, and then I'm actually telling the DSC extension for this VM to actually use that configuration, and I'm updating the VM to go and grab it. And then I'm just, you know, looping basically. So you can see if I go down here, it's, you know, success. Let me scroll all the way to the bottom. The reason it's outputting so much is I have it sleeping for 5 seconds. In the real version, you'd have this running on a schedule and checking, you know.
So I don't think you need to worry about having it at a 5 second level in production mode.
Right, right. Yeah. You're not usually going in every 5 seconds changing your configuration. So you can see, you know, it's now back to monitoring source control for changes. So now what I can see if I go over to my VM, it's actually done the work of using the VM DSC extension, gone and applied this configuration to my VM from source control onto my VM. While that's all this runbook takes care of, you could see extending this runbook to then go and running your test suite mm-hmm. to make sure those pass, and if it's passed, then kick off another runbook that maybe handles your production deployment process of your configuration changes to your production VMs. So let me close this down just to refresh it and open roles and features again, and hopefully we should see IIS in here. Sometimes it takes a second to install, so mm-hmm. the demo gods may not be nice to me, but let's hope they are. Usually when it takes a second like this, it means something's getting installed.
It's probably in the background there.
Yeah.
Well, while that's going on, mm-hmm. I actually have a question that came up here. This one's from Alan C. Through the online forum, was asking about with startup and shutdown on a per environment basis, as an example for the script that you just showed that are there. So basically, can you go in and target specific VMs, not just on an environment basis? Because the one you did was basically shut them all down, but then keep one of them up and running. Mm-hmm. Is it easy enough to be able to go in and to target groups of machines, or to target, like you had, the QA version versus the production version versus the staging version,
right,
whatever
right.
happens to be?
So the Azure commandlet, essentially what I'm doing is get Azure VM to grab my VMs.
Yeah, you're doing
some filters.
Very simple
and then,
one, right.
And then stopping them. You could do any kind of filters you want based on name. When Azure Resource Manager kind of adds support for VMs, mm-hmm. You'll be able to tag your VMs with certain tags like dev, test, production.
Yep.
So instead of based on name or based on subscription, I mean, one thing you might do is if your existing subscription, maybe you have one subscription for production, one for dev, one for test. If you select your production subscription and hit shutdown, then obviously all your production
right.
stuff, if you do it to your test, all your test stuff. But you can also do it by name, you know, any other filters, VM size, mm-hmm. for example, or once Azure Resource Manager has support based on a certain tag for environment or web server, or, you know, something else. So you can really get very granular in terms mm-hmm. of what you shut down by just making a few changes like I did to that gallery runbook that I just pulled in.
Okay. While we're still waiting here, Alexander has another question here about PowerShell workflows. Are they meant to be used for long-running tasks? Can
yeah.
you talk about the 30-minute limitation for Azure Automation runbook jobs and how you need to potentially work around that?
Yeah, I know Alexander. He likes to ask hard questions. I gave you a shirt, man. Why are you asking me hard questions?
Nice.
He has one of these shirts.
Nice.
So yes, one thing which is good to mention is Azure Automation currently has this thing called Fair Share. Mm-hmm. And what that means is after a 30-minute period of your runbook running, it'll unload the runbook, let some other runbooks run, and then reload that runbook at the last checkpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So within your runbooks, you should be checkpointing kind of
after things you don't want to repeat, or basically between 30-minute periods so that you'll make some progress every 30 minutes for this runbook being in terms of it completing. The reason for this is so we can run everyone's runbooks in a fair way.
Mm-hmm.
We're thinking about, you know, better ways to do that for the future in terms of, you know, do we make Fair Share longer? Do we give you a longer period of time before it kicks you out? Do we have certain tiers in terms of scaling? Like maybe the free tier, you have Fair Share, but the standard tier or higher tier, maybe you don't. We're kind of thinking of what's a better way to do it. But as long as you're kind of adhering to putting checkpoints in the proper place, which you should be doing anyway, because if an exception occurs, you want to be able to resume that runbook from a place so it can continue from where it left off instead of kind of doing whatever it did from the beginning again, which could include creating VMs, which mm-hmm. if you already created a VM, you don't want to create another one.
Sure.
So as long as you're inserting these checkpoints, when Fair Share kind of removes it and then resumes it from that last checkpoint, it should continue to make progress and continue.
Okay, good. How'd this guy go?
It looks like it works. So you can see I have IIS over here now.
Okay, good, good.
If I do add roles and features and click into this guy, you can see IIS is installed.
IIS, yeah.
And then if I actually go over to the public endpoint for this VM and I hit enter, you can see IIS is
beautiful
set up.
Beautiful web page.
So beautiful website. A little better than the beta fish. Rather
yes.
look at this. So I did here is I updated my source control. I checked in a new change to my configuration, and the runbook, which was monitoring it, went and actually applied that to my test VMs in this case. And then you could continue that process to run your tests, apply it to production mm-hmm. during your maintenance window if it passes, things like that.
Very
so
cool.
Another way that you can kind of get a good amount of value out of Azure Automation pretty easily and take advantage of desired state configuration kind of in a way it makes sense within the Azure Automation world.
Hmm. Very cool.
So if I get back to my deck now and I fast forward through a bunch of slides. So again, you know, this is the process I just talked about. I did steps essentially 1, 2, and 1 and 2, and then, you know, 3, 4, and 5 you could use another runbook from and call this runbook or
mm-hmm.
Basically what our motto is on the automation team is if you find yourself doing a task that's taking you a fair amount of time to keep your VMs or your services on Azure up and running, stop doing that task yourself. You know, Our computers for Azure Automation can do that task faster than you could. Just spend a little bit of time to either grab from the gallery an existing solution for that process or write up that process for you in PowerShell. And then use Azure Automation to schedule it or kick it off via commandlets or SDK or API to actually have Azure Automation do this process for you. And you can go and work on kind of instead of these menial but very important tasks to keep things up and running, something that's harder for a computer to do that adds more business value, such as coming and talking with Rick and giving this presentation while Azure Automation is handling the starting and stopping of my VMs and the applying of my configurations, right?
Nice.
And, that's it for me.
It's, as I would say, question-wise, there's been a lot of really good comments in here about the whole concept of automation. And stuff they should be looking for. A lot of queries about how to get one of those t-shirts, but we'll save that one there for the blog. Now, you mentioned the blog as a reference.
Yeah.
That's simply just the blogs.azure.com or azure.microsoft.com/blogs, I think, is the actual URL, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so let me pull that up real quick. And there's always, we usually do a cadence of about once a week mm-hmm. Pushing something up there. Essentially, if you look for the tag Azure Automation, so let's go to blog.azure.com and
over on the right hand side for the tags.
Right hand side, these things. So
yeah.
These are topics, yeah. And so we're under the IT Pro DevOps topic. So if you click there, you'll usually find us pretty quickly, or you can search based on the tag. But so let's click into there. And I mean, we have about, what is it? It might be around 15 things since we kind of released the service and preview that we've blogged about up here.
Mm-hmm.
So here was the latest one where I talk about the Azure Automation Script Converter, which is how we turn PowerShell scripts into workflows to run in our system.
Mm-hmm.
And I give details on that. And then so, you know, if you click on this Azure Automation tag, and we actually link to this page from our portal. So if you go into the portal, and
this is the portal, okay.
Sorry, the Azure portal. If you go to your dashboard, quick start page for an automation account, you can actually get to it straight from in there.
Oh, okay.
So, I subscribe to this feed, so you're getting new info. Or at any time, you can click into there and basically, read all the new goodies we're talking about in terms of, solutions you can build on Azure Automation, talking about new features, workarounds for things that might need a little more polish. And you can see we have a lot of stuff in here, 2 pages worth of posts.
Now this is in preview mode, or no, it's in final mode.
Not anymore. Yeah, okay. So we very recently, I think it was October, it was basically right around Tech Ed Europe.
Okay.
We went from preview to GA.
GA.
So you get those SLAs of Azure. You can go beyond the free tier amount, but you still get that free tier.
So
but you
everybody has
you
a
go.
Free tier for your subscription for under 500 minutes.
500 minutes
per month. And then if you need to go past that, then it's on a per charge. And you said it was like, again, non-discounted, whatever kind of pricey happens to be. It was like 1/5 of a cent or something like that.
Yeah,
so it's very, very cost effective for the number of minutes you have to go off and run. That covered off the last couple of questions there. I think that basically covers it, my friend.
All right.
We're covered for automation. I'm going to say thank you for that, particular session. And
thanks
just stick around for just a minute. For those of you that are on the live stream, this wraps us up for today. If you're watching this in review mode, because it's now on demand, again, there's lots more sessions to go off and check on and to take a look at. And I just want to make sure I passed on a couple of references for you for other things to do. I want to, first of all, obviously thank Joe Levy. Joe Levy, I'm sorry. I got the song in my head. I'm sorry.
You're not the first one. No.
So I want to thank Joe, also Matt and Vamshi, and also Yusun for today's session during the live streams that are up there. All the different sessions will be available within 24 hours of them going live, available on demand, each with your own individual links and also commentaries and things like that, on channel 9 at msdn.com under the events tab for where we happen to be. Tomorrow, if you're going to be following on the live stream, we're going open source. And so we're going to be having Medhan is going to be here talking about all about sorts of different things for Linux workloads on Windows Azure IaaS. But then we're also going to be having some very cool automation stuff and configuration stuff with some Chef, some Puppet, even some DSC stuff as well. And then also going into the container world with containerization and even large scale Linux deployments too. So lots of great stuff lined up for the next batch of content coming through here on the live stream starting tomorrow. It's going to be same day, same bat channel, same time. So it's going to be starting at 9 o'clock. It is 9 o'clock, yeah. 9 o'clock Pacific time here in the Redmond time zone. All the recordings for day one are up. You can get them from aka.ms/levelupazure. And then, as I mentioned, these ones that you saw today will be available in the not-too-distant future if you want to go take a look at them. Go and try this sort of stuff out. If you haven't already done so, you can just go to aka.ms/try-azure-now, or you can even just go off to the Azure website and then in the top right-hand corner say sign up for trial. Now, we'll ask you for a credit card for verification of who you happen to be for identity purposes, so be aware of that. And now that I know there's an automation script available, I'm going to have to make sure I put that into my session, my account, to make sure that I can turn my machines on and off.
Right, make
for
your
my
boss
demos.
Happy.
Make my life a lot easier. What is it you said? If you have to if you do something manually more than twice, make sure you go off and automate it, basically, is the...
If you think you'll do a task twice, automate it.
There we go.
Also, this little guy, automate all the things, the meme down there.
I love that. So go ahead and go give Azure a try today. Make sure you try and sign that up. Likewise as well, if you have an MSDN subscription, or if you have developers in your organization that have MSDN subscriptions that haven't activated their Azure benefits as of yet, there's different levels of benefits for free recurring hours that happen on the MSDN benefits. And as you saw, even we use the MSDN subscriptions for our demo accounts and our accounts that we use as well. Go ahead and to register and to use those. And then finally, there's a free ebook available for IT pros on the Azure side of things for IT professionals, aka.ms/azure-ebook is the link for that one there. And then finally, for some additional resources, Joe showed us the blog that's available for the Azure teams across the board, and then how to be able to find the automation section specifically. You're more than welcome to also come off and take a look at my blog, which is regularitguy.com. If you want to, you can also hit us up on Twitter. We're going to be monitoring the hashtag #LevelUpAzure, in case you wanted to let anyone on the broader team take a look at it. You can always find me at @RicksterCDN. I noticed that you have got a Twitter hashtag or Twitter account there too.
I have one as well, @JODOGLEVY. So Joe, then the dog animal,
yeah,
and then Levy, but no E in Joe. And then there's also the recently created Azure Automation Twitter handle that we manage as well. So you can tweet at that or follow it to when we'll blog about, you know, we'll tweet about new blogs we put out and other interesting community kind of content we see. We'll tweet about that.
Very, very cool stuff. And then finally, this will eventually show up on an MVA in the form of a course. It's not currently there as of yet. That is at microsoftvirtualacademy.com. And there's a whole bunch of other resources for Azure that's available on demand up there too for different types of videos, different types of scenarios and modules. So go check out that resource for you as well. And with that, I want to say thank you very much for joining us for whatever time of day it is for wherever you happen to be coming in from. Thanks for spending the last couple of hours with us here. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going open source. We'll be here at the same place. And I can't wait for tomorrow. Thanks a lot, everybody, and we'll see you next time.